Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for that wonderful message and song. Jesus, it's me again. I'm on my knees again. Reach out your hand. Thank you so much for that powerful message and word and song. It's good to be with you again this evening. Amen. And I've enjoyed my fellowship with you, and I just like to Jason Kenny, we really appreciate his words. In fact, if I wasn't mistaken, I was thinking he was a preacher, not a politician. But thank you so much for what you do for this country and what you do for us. And religious liberty is very, very much a part of who we are as a Seventh-day Adventist church and family. And we know how God tells us in His Word how that's all going to affect us in the very near future, I believe. And they told me I was a little bit too short for the podium because you couldn't see me last night. Huh? So now this makes me look tall. I'd like to thank the administration, Elder Weeb and his team. My wife was not able to come, and they sent a bouquet of flowers to the home. And she really appreciated, in fact, she wasn't home, she was at work, but they delivered to our neighbor next door. And what they put on the card was, "Thank you for sharing your husband." So my wife had to remind my neighbors next door what kind of trip I was on. That he's a preacher. And so I told her, thanks a lot. I didn't want them looking at me sideways when I came home. You know, God is so good to us. And I'm overwhelmed, and I get overcome sometimes when I stop and think about how good God is. And His grace. I just want to thank the administration for this theme. There are a lot of things we talk about, and there are a lot of things we preach about. But I think we need to think about this theme more. I think we need to reflect on it more as a people of God, as preachers, as members, as servants of God. Because this subject is so deep and it is so vast that we'll take eternity and we're still trying to figure it out. We don't understand all about God's love and His grace. And even the angels don't all understand it. But someone said, if you don't believe it, you'll lose your soul. If you try to understand it, you lose your mind. Sometimes we just got to grab hold on it and ask God to help us. Pray with me tonight as we begin. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. And it's me again, Lord. Come before you. Prostrate in my heart. Asking that you might hide this preacher behind the cross of Calvary, that we may not see him or hear him, but that we might see Jesus. High and lifted up, and he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Draw us closer tonight, O God, closer to your throne. Give us a fresh glimpse of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Last night we talked about the servant of grace and what that grace is, the everlasting gospel, the good news. And tonight we want to talk about the work of grace. And I know some people may have felt a little uncomfortable last night because we were raised as Seventh-day Adventists a little bit on the legalistic side. Maybe a lot bit on the legalistic side. And we know about grace, but we, and it's all in our doctrines. What we have in our doctrines is spot on. Yeah. But sometimes as a people, we tend to put an overemphasis on the work side of things. So much so that some people feel that that you only can get to heaven if you are a good Seventh-day Adventist and if you work really hard. And that is a misunderstanding of what grace is. And so tonight, yesterday we talked about what grace does for us and how it encompasses us. And tonight we want to talk about what grace does to us. I didn't see a clock in here, and I think that means just keep on going. I don't know. But I am going to set my timer to help me tonight. And the work of grace, the good news is what we talked about last night. For God so loved the world that he did what, everyone? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall but everlasting life. That whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be what, everybody? And the God didn't he didn't have to come to condemn us, because we were already in a condemned state before he came. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That's what the Bible is saying. If you don't believe, you're already condemned, because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And we found out last night, and we reminded ourselves last night, that we are born in sin and shaped in what, everybody? Behold, David says, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. A little bitty baby coming into the world. They're cute, but they come in with this hanging on their head. You know, we look at babies, and they're so innocent, aren't they? So cute. We look at them as so pure, so precious, so smart, so adorable, so much. We just want to hug them and kiss them and squeeze them. We look at babies as having a purity. We look at babies as not having any stain of sin. We look at babies. But you know, you don't have to teach babies to holler when they get mad. And sometimes they holler because they are hungry, and sometimes they want to be changed. And sometimes they just want that rattle that you took from them. And you don't have to teach them. And one of the things all these beautiful, cuddly babies have in common is that each one, when they're born in a sinful state. They're born with a sinful mind. And they didn't do anything to be born that way. They just have to be born. And what Christ reminds us is that all have sinned and done what, everyone? Come short of the glory of God. But Matthew tells us, wherefore I say unto you that if you sin, all manner of sin and what? Shall be forgiven unto. You know, when I came into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I was taught that there was an unpardonable sin. Some of you all taught that? That there was some sin, if you commit this sin, then it's unforgivable. Then they said, well, it's the sin against the Holy Spirit, which is what the Bible says. But as I investigated it, the sin against the Holy Spirit is just refusing to listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you continue refusing to listen to the Holy Spirit, the reason you can't be forgiven that sin is because God is in heaven, Jesus was crucified, resurrected, he's gone, and the only connecting link that we have to heaven is the Holy Spirit. And once you cut that link off, there is no other way that God can reach you. That's what the Bible is saying. But it's not saying that there's a particular sin, or somebody says, if I commit so many sins, when I fill my cup up, that's it. Well, how do I know when the cup is full? How do I know when it's half full? But what Jesus is saying here, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. That's good news tonight. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It is great news to God's people and to people around the world, because the Bible says, God says, I don't care what you've done, I'll forgive you. The problem with not listening to the Holy Spirit is it's not that the Holy Spirit stopped trying to reach you. Is that you lose the ability to hear. Are you all with me? Have you set that alarm clock in the morning? And when it first went off, you hit the button, the snooze. You all don't have snooze buttons in here, okay? Right. And then it goes off again, you hit the snooze again. And it goes off again, and you hit the snooze again. Eventually, your body builds in a resistance and a tolerance for that ringing of the alarm. And it's not that the alarm is not ringing. You lose the ability to hear the ringing. And what this is saying is the Holy Spirit will still try to reach you. He's not going to stop. The Holy Spirit will continue to try to reach you until the day that you die. But the problem with continual disobedience to the Holy Spirit is that we lose the ability to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. So Jesus says everybody can be forgiven. And then it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, is unto how many? Oh, you're all good tonight. It's unto all and is upon all them that do what, everybody? For there is no difference. This is the good news. So we found this out last night. God will forgive all sins, all manner of sin, and that the way we're saved. Now, I like this text in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his what, everybody? In his toward us through who? Paul here is giving us a hint that we're going to study this grace thing for eternity. He says that in the ages to come, he's not talking about this time. He said in the ages to come that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what grace is. How deep grace is, that even once we're saved and we're secure in the kingdom, God says, I want you to understand what it really was and what it really means. For by grace are you through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory. The wages of sin is death, and that therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. In other words, the Bible says, even though God calls us to do good things, you can't do enough good things to be saved. Are y'all with me? You can't do good enough to be saved on your good doing. Help me, Holy Ghost. That God is saying, by the deeds of the law, by good doing, that's what I was talking about last night. You can't do good enough to be saved. That's why Romans says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what, everybody? You see, this thing of accepting God's grace is, you know, we have these theological terms we call righteousness by faith, and we have it in three different parts. The first part we call justification. That's God's grace, and that's what Paul is talking about here in 5:1 of Romans, that therefore being justified by faith, in other words, I'm justified, I'm in good standing with God, not on my good doing, but on my faith based on God's grace. And it says that good standing based on grace is what gives me peace with God. I wish somebody would listen to me tonight. In other words, when I get on my knees and I pray to God, I don't have to hold my prayers back based on my bad doing. When I go to church on Sabbath, I don't have to hold my head down because I had a bad week. Because the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, when I have this grace, when I embrace this grace, it gives me peace with God. Amen. So when God sees me, he sees nothing but good, amen, even though I've been bad. Now you all, that's an amen moment.
Amen.
When God looks at me, I can stand boldly before the throne of grace because I have peace with God because I've been justified by faith through grace.
Amen.
Amen. By whom we also, the Bible says in verse 2, have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's why I think too many Adventist churches are too quiet on Sabbath morning. Too many Adventist people come to church on Sabbath, on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday with a heavy burden because they have not recognized or they have not grasped the reality that we stand in peace with God through grace. And so when I come, I'm rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When I come, I'm rejoicing because I have this access through grace. Now, I know our problem. Our problem that everything about life militates against what I'm saying. I am trained from a child to believe that you get nothing free in this world, right? Even when I go to school, we train our children, if you do good, you get an A. If you work hard, you get an A. If you're good, why mama leave you with the babysitter, mama gonna give you some cookies and ice cream. That's if y'all are not too vegan. Some of y'all are too vegan. Y'all are going to give them something else. But we are trained. It's part of our culture. It's part of our DNA. We're trained. It's inbred in us. It is ingrained in us that if you do good, then there's reward. If you do bad, there's negative consequences. And here God comes, and he offers free grace. And God has to penetrate through my head that he means what he says. And he knows he's fighting an uphill battle, so he pushes it further and further. And what God is saying to us, that I'm justified before I'm qualified. Oh, you all listen to me? That I'm accepted by God while I'm unacceptable. That I'm declared righteous while I'm unrighteous. This is the good news. That Jesus says that I will give you righteousness before you earn righteousness. Because you can't earn righteousness. In fact, the Bible tells us, but we are all as a what, everybody? An unclean what? And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. I wish I had time to unpack what a filthy rag is, what it's talking about. But what the Bible is saying here, that all of our righteousness, all of our good doing, all of our good deeds, all of our good living, all of our, everything we do, all the things they said we have over here in the warehouse, filthy rags. And what God is saying, pick your best day, the best day you've had as a Christian. Then pick the best hour of that day. When you were living holy. I mean, you were good. You were on it. Then pick the best minute of that hour. You say, I know I wasn't sinning. I was perfect. I was good. I was on it. And the Lord says, it's filthy rags. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Everything that we do is as filthy rags. Grace covers our life. The Bible says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, now listen how Paul reads. That's why I like it, Paul. He moves things in a logical sequence. He said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, most of us can accept the fact that Jesus had to die for our sins. But many of us believe that once he died for our sins, we're on our own, baby. Now I've accepted him as my Savior. Now I, Alex Bryant, has to live a righteous life. Got to study my Sabbath school lesson. Amen. Got to return my tithe. Huh? I got to put in so many hours of community service work. Work for ADRA. Amen. I've got to get to church on time on Sabbath. Amen. I've got to eat right. Get some of those. I had never heard some of the dishes that I heard until I became an Adventist. I never heard... thought about somebody making a loaf out of peanut butter. But some people believe the more peanut butter loaf they eat, the closer they are to the kingdom. So I got to eat right. I got to dress right. I got to do all these things now on my own. Christ died for my sins, but now I am on my own. But what Paul is saying here, he said, let's reason it. If we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You all see what Paul is saying? He said, if you can accept the fact that Jesus died for you on the cross, you also need to accept the fact that he didn't leave you alone to live this life. He's given you his life. You shall be saved. See, he said, you've already been reconciled by the death of Christ on the cross. Now he is talking about living the daily life. You shall be saved not by your life, but by his life. Are you all with me so far? And so, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made, what, everybody? Righteous. See, what grace does, it not only saved me, it not only justifies me, but grace, the work of grace, is starting to work on my everyday life. That God didn't leave me on my own to do that. That the same grace that saved me is the same grace that helps me live every day. That's what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 6, when he says, what shall we say? A lot of people don't like to preach grace is because they feel that it gives people permission to sin. Because it tells people if you sin, God will forgive you. But guess what? That's what the Bible says. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's what the Bible says. But people say, but if you preach that, folk are going to go out and do it and know they can get forgiveness for sin. No. Grace does just the opposite. See, grace doesn't free me to sin. Grace helps me to stop sinning. That's what Paul is saying. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into what, everybody? To death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should do what, everybody? Walk in the newness of life. Now, look what Paul is saying. He says the way Christ died on the cross, that when we accept his grace, and we accept his righteousness, we die the way Christ died on the cross. When we accept Christ's righteousness and his grace, we die. Alex Bryant dies as certainly as Christ died on the cross. Amen.
Amen.
And now, as Christ was resurrected, I walk in a newness of life. Help me, Holy Ghost. I walk in a newness of life. Paul continues, knowing that our old man is crucified, where? With him. What's the old man? That's me. My way of thinking, my way of doing things, the old man is crucified with Christ on the cross. And the problem with many Christians is we want to be a Christian, but we want to still live. If you're going to be a Christian, you got to die. If you want to be a follower of Christ and if you accept his grace, then Alex Bryant must die. What am I dying to? I am dying to my way of thinking and my way of doing things. So if I wake up in the morning, let me give you an example of how it happens. I give my life to Jesus Christ. In fact, let me go to my next text. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I do what, everybody? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul says, I have to die daily. To who? What am I dying to? I'm dying to Alex Bryant. Because Alex Bryant wants to live. And I want God's righteousness. God says, you can't have both. If you get my grace, then you're dead. Then when you die, I wake up in the morning. I say, Lord, here's my life. I want to live for you today. I give it to you, Lord. And the devil knows the commitment I've made. So the devil will bring something up to make sure. You really want to die? So I'm driving to work. Somebody cuts me off in their car. And I raise my hand and I say, what you say? What happened? Alex resurrected. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry, God. Lord, I said, you want to die? Yes. You see, it's not only that I die daily. Sometimes I got to die 15 times through the day. Because I want to live. So if you say something bad to me or about me or against me, guess what Alex wants to do? Elder Corcoran, I want to say something bad back. But when God's grace is on my life, grace holds me in check. Grace holds my mouth still and shut. And grace says, you dead. You can't say anything. Are you all listening to me? See, the problem with us, when somebody says something to us, we want to respond. The reason we want to respond is because we resurrected. If I die, like Paul says, I die. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ knows how to respond when somebody cut him off on the highway. Christ knows how to respond. You know, sometimes the devil will get you going to church on Sabbath morning. We get mad at our family because we're trying to get to church on time. And the devil done caused us to resurrect trying to get to church. So we get to church mad. So you got to say, Lord, I die again. See, grace, the work of grace, is to destroy self. In fact, the greatest fight that you and I have is the fight of self. Grace takes away sin. It doesn't empower sin. Grace takes sin away. The Bible says we're not under the law, but we're under grace. Grace holds me down more than the law holds me down. Because grace gives me a heart and a mind to want to do good because God has been so good to me. So grace not only saves me, but it transforms me. Grace places me in right relationship with God. Grace grows a fruit of the Spirit in my life. You know, too many times, we want people to look like Adventists on the outside. And God wants them to look like Adventists on the inside. That's where God starts. We want to clean them up on the outside so they look right. God says, no, man looks on the outward appearance. He says, but I'm looking at your heart. And God says, if I have your heart, I'll change your outward appearance. It may not be overnight. It may not be next week. But if I got your heart, he says, I have everything else. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. See, that's grace. When grace is in my heart, God lives out the fruit of the Spirit. Too many of us are trying to live out the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit. Are y'all with me? We're trying to live like good Christians. We don't have any Spirit. You see, an apple tree is not an apple tree because it grows apples. An apple tree grows apples because it is an apple tree. Y'all didn't get that one? An apple tree is not an apple tree because it grows apples. An apple tree grows apples because it is an apple tree. And can I come down? Shall I come down? You see, what I'm saying is, when you're an apple tree, the natural fruit the natural fruit are not oranges. You grow apples because you're an apple tree. When grace comes into the heart, the fruit of the Spirit naturally grows out of that grace. Oh, you are with me? And what we need to do is stop trying to be good Christians and trying to be Christians full of the grace of God so that the Spirit is dwelling inside. If the Spirit is on the inside, the fruit's going to come up on the outside. That's what grace does. That's the work of grace on the heart and on the life. The Bible says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. What I'm trying to say to you here tonight is that not only does grace justify me, put me in good standing with God, it gives me a peace with God, but grace also helps me in the daily life. I got a friend who's going to help me with something here. Alex, he has a great name, Alex. He's going to help me with something here. Now, Alex, first of all, it's a great name. Your mom and dad did well. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now I want you all to look at Alex. And you may not be able to see him very well from where you're sitting, but Alex is covered in mud. He's all messed up. He's disheveled. When we come to God, this is how we come to God. We're messed up, and dirt has us covered from head to toe. Now, Alex is a clean, dirty-looking guy, right? But let's say that's us. And we're covered with sin. We're polluted by sin. We're taken over by sin. But God says, I'm going to give you my grace. And when I give you my grace, it's going to cover up your sins. So when the Father looks at you, he doesn't see your messed up condition. He sees the righteousness of Christ that covers you. Amen. Are you all with me? Amen. So I need some righteousness tonight. You need some righteousness tonight. And God's righteousness covers us. And so I need some covering. Come help me with that covering. And so what I'm saying to you, that grace does a multiplicity of things. But the two I'm talking about tonight is grace covers us, it justifies us, and it gives us the righteousness of Christ. And so when God looks at us, he almost looks like Jesus, doesn't he? When God looks at us, this is what God sees. Now, look at what grace does. Grace covers me so that I'm at peace with God. And when God looks at me, God says, Alex is all right. Because he's covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Now, in the meantime, the dirt is still there. That's part two of grace. What grace is doing is while I'm covered and in good standing with God, grace is underneath working out all the mess in my life. Can you say amen? Amen. And so when you might look at me and you remember me from before, but God said, wait a minute, he's covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the things that he used to do, he doesn't do them anymore. And yes, he's not perfect. And yes, things are not right. But God says, my grace is working on that. And guess what? God says it's going to take a lifetime for me to get all of that stuff off of you. But don't worry about that, because while I'm working on that for a lifetime, I got you covered by my grace. And let me tell you something, Seventh-day Adventist, you never get to a point that you outgrow needing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You never get good enough that you say, I can stand on my own. We are all in need of the righteousness of Jesus. And God says, he covers me. So when I mess up in the morning, when I mess up at noonday, when I mess up at night, Jesus says, Alex, I got you covered. Ask for forgiveness. Repent for your sins, and I got you covered. So when I walk to church on Sabbath, the preacher ain't got to preach a good sermon. I'm coming in saying hallelujah. Well, the preacher didn't hit it. That's okay. Jesus hit it. And he's still hitting it. When I recognize who I am in Jesus, that's grace. Grace says you're justified before you're qualified. You're accepted before you're acceptable. You're declared righteous while you're still unrighteous. This is the good news. This is the news of that angel in Revelation 14 and 6, flying in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel. God wants the whole world to know my righteousness will cover you. And I'm going to tell you all, folks, it's freedom in knowing you're covered by Jesus. Yes. Are you all listening to me? It's not burdensome. It's freedom. And I'm going to tell you, when I see how good God is and how much I mess up, but let me tell you something. I'm going to close. You don't ever have to have drank any alcohol or smoked any cigarettes or taken any drugs. But when God looks at all of us, this is what we look like underneath. Because God looks at everything. He looks at the sins that nobody knows but you. He looks at the, he doesn't, Ellen White said, he doesn't only look at the sins that I commit. He look at the sins that I want to commit, but I'm scared of getting caught. So I do want to sleep with her, but if my wife ever caught me. God looks at our selfishness. He looks at our undone condition. He looks at our jealousy. He looks at our envy. He looks at all of that. When God sees us without the righteousness of Jesus, we are all men most miserable. But with God's righteousness, with God's grace, he said, if you accept my grace, you accept everything that comes with it. And he said, I have you covered. Amen. Are you thankful for God's grace tonight? Amen. If you're thankful for God's grace tonight, let me hear you say hallelujah. If you're really thankful for his grace, let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And see, when God's grace is in your life, there's nothing that anyone can do to you. You walk around the camp a little different, with a song in your heart and a leap in your step, because you know that you're in good standing with him. You know that God walks with you and he talks with you and he calls you his own. That's amazing grace. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for the fact that you cover us. And even when things are not working out right, when I'm still wrestling with my temper and my anger, grace says, I got you covered. But grace also puts in my heart a desire to be like Jesus. And I'm working that out every day. And while I'm working that out, God says, I got you covered. And when the Father looks at you, he doesn't see your sinful condition. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Help us to live in that grace every day. And to share that grace in the precious name of Jesus. Let all the people say, amen.